Our text is from 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've ever helped somebody make a loaf of bread, you realize how important that tiny little packet of yeast is that can transform the entire loaf. In a certain sense, you could say that little element goes into the dough and perverts the dough. And that small infusion of yeast makes the difference between a Ritz cracker and a hamburger bun. The night of the first Passover, the children of Israel, as they were about to flee Egypt and as they were preparing to head out of the country, they were not even to take enough time to let the yeast in their bread rise. They were to eat this meal in haste and to be ready to go. And so they were not even to have yeast leaven at all in their homes so that they could quickly leave. And during that celebration of the Passover that then would memorialize this great event and also was a great depiction, of course, of the coming work of Christ, in that Passover memorial feast that they ate every year, for one full week, the Jewish people were to cleanse their homes of all yeast, of all leaven. In fact, it was such a specific command from God, and it was to be so thoroughly enforced that if anybody was to be found having yeast in their home during that special week, they were to be cut off from the congregation of Israel, the Lord said. Expelled, you might say. And so, to a faithful Jew celebrating the Passover, it was just unconscionable to have yeast during the Passover season. It was unthinkable to continue possessing that in your home while you're at the same time commemorating this amazing event of the Passover. And so yeast came to symbolize, throughout Scripture, came to symbolize a foreign substance, something that represented corruption and sin, false teaching. It was a fungus that did not belong in the dough. In the context of the text that is before us, St. Paul, prior to this, just in the verses ahead of this, has been addressing a situation that had taken place in the congregation of Corinth. Apparently, there was a case of sexual immorality involving a young man from the church, and the congregation had never taken the time to sit down and talk to him about this and to get him to confront his sin and to repent of his sin and to turn away from it. In fact, it appeared that they had been rather permissive toward it and almost seemed to revel in the fact that they could be so open-minded and so tolerant. And here was something that was being practiced in their midst and openly known about, and yet they had turned a blind eye to it. It's a temptation for all of us to take the wonderful grace of God that we have in Christ and to abuse it in our lives. To treat God's grace as if we can kind of go back to our sin and trifle with it and mess around with it and take advantage of the fact that our God is so loving and forgiving and will always come back to us with his tremendous grace. To live as though on the one hand we love Christ and we appreciate him and everything he did for us on the cross by his grace, but on the other hand keep holding on to things that we know clearly are against the will of God. And what Paul is saying to this congregation and to us is this is a contradiction. This is a contradiction in the Christian life that ultimately negates the cross. It ultimately takes away the power of God's grace. And just like yeast in dough that will, if it's allowed to sit in there, will ultimately work its way through the whole lump of dough and infect it all, so it is with sin in our day-to-day lives. It has the potential to dramatically change our spiritual lives. If you're like me, we can often be tempted to kind of compartmentalize our spiritual lives. And what I mean by that is this. We can look at ourselves and say, you know, there's certain areas of my life that I'm going to be very careful about and follow the will of God. I'm going to even be kind of proud of those. Maybe it's how I talk, or maybe it's another certain particular commandment that I've gotten very good at trying to keep. But that then, the fact that I'm so good at the rest of those commandments will allow me to be a little looser with this other one, because think how good I am with the rest. Think how much the rest of my spiritual life is so clear and clean and pure. That certainly then permits me, or gives me the permission to live differently over here with this one. And we can falsely think that there are certain sins that we can hold on to and possess, and they're ultimately not going to really wreck the rest of the batch of dough. But as Paul says, just a small amount in the dough wrecks the whole thing. And so his command to us from God is very simple. Purge out the old leaven. Get rid of it. If you've put a lump of dough down on the table to work with, and in one spot you've now dumped in a little tiny bit of yeast, grab that chunk, rip it out, and throw it away and get rid of it before it affects everything else. So how do we purge out the old leaven, this yeast of sin in our lives? Through the process of repentance, that tiny little activity in our heart that no one can see but God. That tiny little activity inside of us worked by the Holy Spirit when we realize our wickedness before God, when we come to Him in faith and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Please restore me once again. That is how this yeast is purged. Now note the words of St. Paul very carefully in our text. He says to them, you should do this since you truly are unleavened. Now, this is how the Lord sees them for the sake of Christ, their Savior, and their faith that is holding on to Him. In the eyes of God, because of faith in Christ possessing Him, He says, you truly are unleavened. Notice He doesn't say, you will be unleavened. He doesn't say, or that you might be someday unleavened. But you truly are unleavened. In the eyes of God, you already are pure. Paul is not instructing them to put sin out of their life in order to be seen as pure in the eyes of God, but he's saying you already are pure in the eyes of God because of what Christ has done. Now just live like it. Martin Franzmann, commenting on this text, says, the Christian is called on to enact in his living what God's redeeming act has made him to be. The Passover lamb already has been sacrificed and slain. He has died on the cross, and he has risen again victoriously on that first Easter. And the feast of the Passover has begun already anew in him. For us who appreciate that and know what the resurrection of Christ means for us to go back and to cling to sin in our lives and to not get rid of it and to clean up our lives in repentance is a dramatic contradiction of the faith we profess. The bottom line of our text is this. Take sin seriously. God certainly does. And thank God he certainly has in Christ. And so we can sing with Luther, so let us keep the festival whereto the Lord invites us. Let us live out our Easter joy every day, knowing what it means for us. And in repentance and faith, let us feast on Christ, the pure and true bread of life, who has come down to us from heaven. Amen.